When you move into a new home, you probably start to redecorate, right? Maybe a fresh coat of paint or some new curtains. You start to spread all your knickknacks around. And after a while, the new home has taken on your own personal style and flavor. And it's not just your choice of throw pillows, it turns out, because research published recently in the journal Science that says just in a few days, the residents of a home remake its microbiome. Oh, yeah. The collection of bacteria that live on and around the surfaces there. After a few days, it's so remade, it's so remodeled with your microbiome that you can match a home to the people living there just based on a sample of bacteria. Joining me now to talk about it is Jack Gilbert. He's an environmental microbiologist at Argonne National Lab in Argonne, Illinois, one of the authors on that paper. And he is director of the Home Microbiome Project. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, welcome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. How different is my bacteria from your bacteria?
So your bacterial community, the bugs that live on you and in you, is made up of maybe about 500 to 800 different species. And those species are a composite of all of the decisions and interactions you've ever made in your life. So unless you lived exactly the same life as me, you would not have the same microbiome. So you have a unique microbiota. You are, in essence, microbially unique.
Huh. So when I move into a new home, I'm spreading that microbiome around the furniture?
Yeah, around the furniture, in the air, in the dust. In the studio you're in right now, you are distributing that microbiota around to the people around you and even to the microphone.
I shudder to think.
You have this microbial aura, and it's constantly being spread.
Well, can you then identify me as having been in this studio because my microbiome is here?
Not just you, but anyone else that had been in there within the last 24 hours. So each person would leave their own microbial signature. And because each person has a unique microbiome, we can pick apart the individual components of each of their bacterial community and see who had been occupying that space.
Now, you know, we all see these detective shows, the CSIs on TV. They're always looking to identify via fingerprints or saliva. Is this the next marker for us, the microbiome? You left a bit of your microbiome on the scene.
Yeah, if you think about it, the vast majority of fingerprints give you what we call a presence-absence. Either the person was there or they weren't. But the microbiome is a living thing. And so once you deposit it onto a surface, like a door handle or a light switch, it will start to change and changes subtly over time. So you can actually not just say that person was there, but you may be able to, and we've shown this in the paper, identify when they were last there. Hmm. So you can see when they last interacted with that surface. We're trying to use this forensically, maybe even to identify when the last person interacted with a dead body that you find, in a crime scene. Maybe we could figure out who last interacted with that person.
Wow. And if I'm living with somebody, whether a member of my family, a roommate, whatever, do we exchange microbiomes? Do we sort of combine them into something?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, just physically interacting with another person is going to share a certain proportion of your microbiome, maybe about 5 or 10%. So you'll be more microbiologically similar to your partner than you will to anybody else that you come into contact with. But if you just live in the same space as that person, you're also going to share that microbiome. We had a perfect example in this study where a young couple were living with a lodger, and microbiologically that lodger, even though he wasn't physically interacting with the young couple, he was still more similar to the young couple than he was to anyone else in the study. So just by sharing the same air and the same surfaces as the people you live with, you're going to become slightly more microbiologically similar.
Does it matter where? I mean, do these microbiomes take up certain residents in certain parts of your body? Are there microbes? Do you pick them up by sampling different places?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, your body is a whole ecosystem, but it's a whole myriad of ecosystems. You know, your gut microbiome is quite different to the microbiome that lives on your hand, and your hand microbiome is quite different to the microbiome that lives in your nose or on your face, and your mouth is different from your elbow, etc. So you can start to disentangle, you know, which part of your body interacted with which part of a surface or which part of a human being. So I could tell, you know, if your feet were interacting with the floor and your hands were interacting with the doorknobs. Of course, you know, you shouldn't have to look at the microbiological signature to do that, but it's really helping us to identify the transmission routes by which bacteria get into our body.
Now, you are also trying to build a microbiome, microbial map of Chicago.
Absolutely.
What's the aim here?
This is quite an undertaking. But we've started as of 2013, basically mapping the microbial signatures in the waterways around Chicago, in the parks, in the people, even in the buildings, and now in the air. So we're trying to determine how it changes over time. The urban environment is our most rapidly growing ecosystem on the planet. While all other ecosystems around the world might be being wiped out by human activity, the urban ecosystem is growing very rapidly, and we have next to no idea about the bacterial communities that exist in it. And that's a knowledge gap we're trying to fill. So we better understand how that urban environment shapes the microbiome, and potentially how that microbiome shapes our health, maybe even our prosperity.
Yeah.
If you want to grow bananas in the city, you might want to know which kind of bacteria might be interacting with the soil and the plant and helping it grow.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Jack Gilbert, environmental microbiologist at Argonne National Laboratory. That's interesting because the more we talk about the microbiome, the more fascinating it becomes. You know, about how influential it is to our health, living in our guts, on our skin. There's a microbiome itself in the soil. Don't you think all of these things are interacting sooner or later?
Yeah, I mean, we like to think of the world as being compartmentalized, but everything is pretty much in a continuum. So, you know, all of life exists almost interconnected by the bacteria and the viruses that we constantly shed and pick up. You're born sterile for all intents and purposes, although even that theory is now being slightly overturned. But then your mother gives you your microbiome from her. Even breast milk contains its own microbiome, which is recruited from the mother into the breast milk and then given to you. So you get your first probiotic from your mother. And then from then on, your microbiome builds up. But as human beings, we've always kind of lived in the wild until the last couple of hundred years when we moved into this indoor environment. So we're really starting to try and figure out how the home and the bacteria that live in our home might be shaping our children's microbiome.
Huh.
And if we can manipulate it, maybe we can make our children healthier. We could eradicate all kinds of diseases in that way. Maybe it has an influence on autism. Maybe it has an influence on schizophrenia. Maybe it has an influence on depression and anxiety, as well as a myriad of physiological conditions. So we're really on the cusp of trying to understand how those interactions work. But it's a very exciting time.
You think there'll be a day when we sample your microbiome and we might learn something about you from the flora on you?
I think there's a day coming up very, very soon, maybe in the next 5 years, when you'll be able to go about your morning business and your morning business in your washroom, and you'll be able to find that information about the bacteria that are in your morning business on your iPhone. So imagine being able to understand your bacterial community daily, just the same way as you would with a fitness app on your iPhone or any kind of smartphone. You know, look at your fitness app and it tells you about your fitness.
Well, and there'll be an iPhone app you could sample?
The iPhone app might be able to communicate with a sampler embedded in your toilet. Or maybe you swallow a pill and it identifies the microbial community and sends that via Bluetooth to your iPhone. And maybe that could help you plan what you're going to have for breakfast. So I see, well, my microbiome is slightly out of balance. Maybe I should eat more apricots with my muesli this morning, or maybe I need some bacon. That's the app that I want.
Right, bacon. Or take a probiotic pill that fills in the gap that you need?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, we definitely want to understand the need for probiotics, but we also want to be able to rebalance the ecosystem in our bodies naturally.
Right.
The problem with a probiotic is it's a one-size-fits-all solution. So we generate a probiotic, and we expect several million units of that probiotic to be sold in order to make it commercially viable. Whereas a lot of the decisions that you make about your lifestyle can affect your health. by your microbiome. Huh? And I know this is what my mother always tells me whenever I release a paper. Well, we've been telling you that for years. I told you that as a child. And I go, yeah, it's common sense.
All right, Jack, I got to say goodbye, but this is fascinating. Thanks for wishing you good health on your probiome and everything else. Jack Gilbert, environmental microbiologist at Argonne National Laboratories.